Amazing what happens when you go for a walk in the woods. A friend said to me this week, do you pray about that video you showed last week? And I said, what do you mean? You know, we introduced the Unleash idea and we sent out this video. Some of you may have seen it. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, you think it was wise to tell people ahead of time you're going to talk about money? I said, well, I hadn't really thought of it that way. So thanks for still coming. I'm glad you're here, right? But I do want to be clear about something. That although Unleashed certainly has a financial component to it, it is not just about money. It's about something bigger, more important than money. Unleashed is about an emphasis on generous living, which includes the way we relate to our finances, but it really is about our whole lives. And so the way we've been saying it is this: listen, Unleashed is not about something that we or the church wants from you. It really is about something that we want for you. And that something is a deep, vibrant, growing, living faith in God. And generosity is one of the ways. In fact, it's a key way for us to enter into and find that sort of life. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about the drought. A lot of concern about the drought. Right? Did you know California's having a drought? Okay, some of you seemed a little surprised when I said that. A lot of talk and a lot of rightful concern about our land and it getting dry and getting parched, and we're seeing the impact all across the state. We've got all this, well, it's just drying out and ultimately a lot of thirsty people. It's a little frustrating, though, because, you know, right next door is all this water. And so if we could just find a way to connect the thirsty land and the thirsty people with the water, then we'd be onto something, right? That's not a political statement. That's just, it would just be nice, right? Well, I was thinking about that, and that reminded me, of course, of something Jesus said, John chapter 7. Listen to the words of Jesus. This is John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Anybody over there who's thirsty, just come over here to me and I'll give you a drink." That's what he said. It says that he's at the festival, and that festival would be the Festival of Tabernacles. The Festival of Tabernacles was a week-long, big, huge celebration for all of the people. It happened in the fall, like I said, and it mostly involved the harvest, thanking God for the harvest, celebrating the harvest, looking ahead to next year's harvest, all those kinds of things. And so on the very last day, which is the big day, the culmination, the most important day of this festival, Jesus stands up and he starts shouting this statement: "Hey, if you're over there and you're thirsty and you need water, come over here to me and I'll give you what you need." Now, this festival included a lot of symbolism, lots of ritual acts, and a lot of them had to do with water. They would pray and thank God for the harvest, but they'd also thank him for the rain. And they would pray and ask God to send rain for the next year. And every day of the festival, they'd act out their prayers. They'd have this ceremony where they got water from a pool and they put it in bowls and they carried it before the Lord. And it was their way of saying, "God, send us water. We need water." And they did that every day of the festival except the last day. On the last day, nothing involving water. And it was to heighten their sense of need and their sense of dependence. And so when on that day, Jesus stands up and starts talking about, "If you're thirsty, come to me for water," it would get their attention and they would know he was talking about something significant. In fact, they'd know that he was talking about something more significant than just drinking water, which Jesus makes clear in the next verse, the next words that he said, where he said, "Listen, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." So he's talking about living water. Come to me and get spiritual water, life-giving water. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. John makes that clear in the next verse. He says, by this, come to me and get living water, by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So he's talking about the life-giving presence of God available to us, in us, through the Holy Spirit that comes to us when we believe in Jesus. And so if you're thirsty, if you're really thirsty for something deeper, for something better in life, come to me, Jesus says, and I'll fill you with living water through the Spirit. And this living water will fill you up with all of the forgiveness, all of the reconciliation, all of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the spiritual power you could ever want. Come to me. You'll be connected to me. You'll be alive in me. You'll be healed in me. You'll be fulfilled in me. This is eternal life, and Jesus offers it to people. But did you notice what else he said in verse 38? He also said, I'm come to me and I will fill you with this living water, but what he also says is, I will overfill you with this water. Right? Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I'm going to overfill you with this life-giving water. Streams, rivers of this living water is going to flow from you. So I'm going to give you, Jesus is saying, even more than you need. I'll give you more life, more grace, more forgiveness, more peace than you need. Enough, in fact, for others. For others. This is Jesus saying, I have got a big, crazy vision for your life. Are you thirsty for life? Come to me, Jesus says, and I'll fill you with living water, and I'll make you a conduit of my living water to others. That's God's vision for your life. Pretty cool, isn't it? God's vision for your life is never, ever for you to just get full of him, to fill up on his love and his grace, his mercy, his power. It's always to fill you with this living water, to fill you with this Spirit, and have that flow out of you always to others. Whenever the Spirit of God is in a person, they overflow with God's abundant life. They can't help but be a blessing to others. It's a big vision for your life. And it happens in a lot of different ways. This week I went to my friend Louisa's book signing party. She's a member here. She writes a blog. It became a book. And so we went to her party. And she was talking about how awed she was by the fact that God was using her words from her blog that became a book to give her life to others, to give his life to others. This week, one of our volunteer youth leaders, she posted something on social media. It said, I love being a youth leader, and had some pictures of her kids, her girls. And I love that God has given me this life, and it's spilling out to others. I think that's what she was saying. God's vision for your life. And if we take this one step farther, what we realize is that God has this vision for all of us together, to be so full of his Spirit, of his living water, that rivers of it flow out to us, from us to others. The church is nothing more and nothing less than a group of people in whom God has put his Spirit, and through whom God wants to flood the world with his living water. And so collectively, God has this vision, not just for us, but for his church, to unleash a wave of his love, to unleash a wave of his grace and his mercy and his life in us and through us. And all of this because God has a really big vision for the world, right? Have you heard this verse before? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This life-giving water that Jesus gives you when you believe in him through his Spirit. Now listen, the rivers of living water have been flowing in and through the people of Rose Drive Friends Church for a long time, more than 50 years. And in these days, God is renewing. He's refreshing our vision and our passion. And the river that flows from us, it's beginning to rise. It began to rise noticeably a couple of years ago when a group of us, we worked together and to discern and develop and come up with a new expression of our mission statement. It's that statement we use a lot now. You've heard it. Formed in Christ for the sake of others and the glory of God. And when we did that, you know, it didn't seem like that big of a deal at the time. It's just words on a piece of paper. But the more we talked about it, the more it circulated, the more it began to resonate with people, and it came to express our understanding of what God was calling us to in this time and in this day. And the water got a little bit higher. We began to see more clearly this picture of a thriving, multi-generational church family that's fully engaged in spiritual formation and loving our neighbors so well that eventually we are known more for what happens outside our walls even than what happens inside our walls. And the water's risen a little bit higher as the stories of the things that God is up to have started to be told. Stories of people just walking across the street meeting their neighbors. Stories about upward soccer. You know, for many years, we've had a wonderful upward basketball ministry, making a huge impact on families in our community. And a little while ago, a couple of our guys came in and they said, you know, we think we could do upward soccer. And I said, well, okay, sounds good. We should probably have some meetings about it. The next thing I know, we got 70 signed up for upward soccer. Okay, I guess we're doing this. Daniel and Jenny referred to their hot chocolate story in the video. Such a great story of people just stepping out and saying, we're just going to offer something, we're going to meet our neighbors and let God take it from there. We have a group of people who go every month to serve kids in the Crittenden facility, which is group homes for kids whose parents are caught in the legal limbo of the justice system. Their kids, they're separated from their parents and they're in these group homes waiting to find out what will happen. And we have a group that goes now every month to hold those kids, to love those kids, to be with them. The water's rising. Talked to a woman this week. She spends a certain amount of her free time with dog training, people who love dogs. And she was saying, you know, how am I going to reach these people? And then she just went on to tell me how, you know, I bring them coffee and I love them and I'm with them all the time and I'm talking to them. And I'm like, well, I think you are. You're reaching them. The water's rising. Every week I get to hear stories of meals and gifts and things offered for people in the name of Jesus, people that are already right in the path of Rose Drive Friends Church members. It's undeniable that God's renewing our vision. He's renewing our passion for fulfilling this mission to be formed in Christ for the sake of others and the glory of God. It's undeniable that the river's beginning to rise. But there's more. God has more in mind. God always wants to unleash more of his grace, more of his love, more of his kingdom in us and through us. And that what we've seen, what we are experiencing, it's just a trickle compared to the pent-up potential that exists in the people of Rose Drive Friends Church. And as we begin to see this dream coming to fruition, our vision calls for us to live generously, not just financially, but generously with our whole lives, so that as a people, we can have the ministry opportunities, we can have the facilities, we can have the opportunities to inspire and equip as many people as possible, multitudes of people, to live as growing disciples of Jesus Christ, to live this formed in Christ for the sake of others and the glory of God life. And so that means the ability to upgrade our facilities and our ministry environments. It means elevating the creative capacity in our services. It means developing a spiritual formation ministry that'll take our faith to new heights and new depths. But our vision always goes beyond ourselves. And as we seek to love our neighbors and love our neighborhoods so effectively, our hope is that every person in North Orange County has an authentic experience with a genuine follower of Christ. I believe God would want that. I believe that God would want each of our neighborhoods, each of our neighbors to have an authentic experience with a genuine believer in Christ. And he's put us in a place to be a part of that, that he'd want that for us. And so that means we want to start new ministries that are designed to help, to equip, to encourage people who are already taking these steps, to help more people impact their neighborhoods. It means having the ability to invest in strategic partnerships with new ministries, groups like Solidarity that we are beginning to partner with more fully, people who are already reaching into our county in places and in ways that we can't yet. But even further, we envision being a church that's ready to respond to God whenever and wherever and however he calls us. And that means starting new churches, possibly starting new mission fields at home and abroad, serving creatively, revolutionizing the way ministry happens. Whatever it means, we want to be unleashed to follow God this way, whenever, wherever, however he calls us. But in order for this pent-up potential to be unleashed, in order for us to see this wave of God's grace and love and mercy be unleashed, we also have to be unleashed from some things. From some things that keep the river from flowing like it could. Some of you know that I once lived in the Ozark Mountains. I've been telling this story a lot lately, so maybe you've heard this before, but we lived near Branson, Missouri, and I loved to go fishing there. That was one of the great things about living there. And my favorite place to fish was below Table Rock Dam. This is Table Rock Dam. And it's a big old dam, 250 feet, and behind it is Table Rock Lake. And the only thing holding back all that water is that dam, because that's what dams are designed to do, right? They hold the water back. Well, when you fish there, there's this unusual thing that would happen. You didn't know when, but at some point when you'd be fishing, these sirens would begin to blare. And the sirens were a signal that you needed to get out of the water because they were about to release water from the dam. The water was going to rise. But it happened very slowly. You could hardly notice it happening, so that's why they blew the sirens so that you do it, because otherwise you'd just be fishing along, and next thing you know, this current that was barely a trickle before is now about to pull you under. And when I personally experienced that and learned what the sirens were for, I realized that's a lot of power coming from that water, but it was only a little bit of water. Right? Then I would look at that dam and say, now what would happen if that whole thing got unleashed? What would happen if that whole dam gave way? Well, one of the definitions of the word unleashed, if you look it up, you'll find this. To allow or cause something very powerful to happen suddenly. That's what would happen if that dam gave way. And that's what we believe will happen among us, in us, through us, as we become unleashed. But to do so, we have to be unleashed from what holds us back, from our potential. And so here's a few things that make up our dam, if you will. Things that are keeping the river from flowing, that Unleashed is designed to help us with. The first is outdated and declining technology and facilities. So our facilities are holding us back. Now, that might shock you. In fact, it might offend you. I've had some people be offended by me saying that because we have this wonderful campus. A lot of awesome ministry takes place here and has taken place here. And many of you have given sacrificially to see this campus come to be, and that's awesome. But the reality is she's beginning to show her age. Our technology is behind. We struggle to keep up. All of our audiovisual systems across our campus need to be upgraded. The systems in this building, they are so old that parts of them are literally being held together with duct tape and wire. There's no replacement parts for them when they break. It's all over. We're hoping to inspire and equip multitudes, but we're operating in standard definition in a high definition world. And you say, that doesn't matter to me. But that's because you're part of the family. Those that we're seeking to reach, believe me, they notice. This worship center has not been remodeled significantly in more than 15 years. It has a roof on it that's rated for 30 years. It's 31 years old, and it's leaking. I could go on and on. You probably have your own things that you could add that if you look closely and notice around our campus and our facility, things that are holding us back. And in order for us to be effective, to be able to inspire and equip multitudes here to live the formed in Christ lifestyle, we need to have the financial resources to improve all of our environments for worship, for community, and for equipping. The second thing that makes up our dam is the constant cutting of ministry budgets. Our lack of resources to invest in ministry is holding us back. We've cut our ministry budgets for 8 consecutive years, and we want to change that. We need to change that. We want to have the resources to fully fund our current ministries as well as new ministries. And I believe we've got a very gifted and very committed team of volunteer leaders and a very committed staff team to work alongside them. But every year we're asking them to do more with less. We're serious about equipping multitudes to live the formed in Christ lifestyle. We're serious about reaching into all the neighborhoods of North Orange County. If we're going to do that, eventually we have to stop asking our leaders to make something out of nothing. A fully resourced budget will unleash a wave of creativity and strategy in all of our ministries. Our ministries to children, our ministry to students, and our ministries to adults. A robust ministry budget will also help us take significant steps into our community to make impact by partnering more fully and financially with organizations like Solidarity, who are already doing that kind of work, with Canning Hunger, who we've partnered with for so long, and new ones as well. The third thing that adds to or is part of our dam is the burden of debt. Our debt is holding us back, and through Unleashed, we want to pay down a significant portion of our debt so that we can shift those dollars into life-changing ministry, the kind of ministry that helps us reach into places we're not currently reaching. Right? As we reduce our debt, we can shift those dollars into ministries like our food pantry or our benevolence ministry that's been unfunded now for a few years. It means camp scholarships for kids going to camp. It means partnering with Solidarity. It means other ministries that we want to invest in that'll help us touch lives. And beyond this, the goal and the dream of debt freedom is to allow us to pursue ministry that we can't even see yet. The big, hairy, amazing things that God's going to call to us. You know that in our blood, in our DNA as a church, we are church planters. We are pioneer missionaries. We are ministry innovators. That's our history, but it's also our future. We know, we expect God to move us in those directions again, whether it's planting new churches or opening new mission fields or just revolutionizing ministry. We believe that that's going to happen. And so we want to be ready. And debt freedom is one of the ways we can be ready to respond to God whenever, however, wherever he calls us to. We've come to a very critical point in the pursuit of our vision as a people. I believe it's time for us to take a big step forward toward unleashing all of our potential. And so that's why we've invited you to be a part of Unleashed. Unleashed is a 2-year spiritual emphasis aimed at releasing us to experience the full impact that God wants us to have. Now, I was talking to my mom on the phone this week, and she said, "You're going to preach on this for 2 years?" And I was like, no, even I would get tired of that. It's a 2-year time of emphasis, but I'm only going to preach about it for a few weeks, so don't worry. Our vision of inspiring and equipping multitudes to live lives of discipleship, our vision of touching every person in North Orange County, our desire to respond to God whenever, however, wherever he calls, that's what Unleashed is about, helping us take a step in that direction and unleashing us from the things that hold us back, our outdated facilities and our constant cutting of ministry budgets and the burden of debt. So how does Unleashed actually help us do this? And the answer is this: by focusing on generosity, Now, let me just say to you right up front that generosity is not a code word. This isn't spin. I heard somebody talking this week of saying, oh, Unleashed, it's just a giving program. And let me tell you, it's not. It's not. Generosity, as a spiritual trait, has the power to transform your relationship with God. And that's what we want. That's what we're excited about. Nothing, nothing promotes spiritual formation and spiritual growth like the spiritual characteristic of generosity. Not just acts of being generous, but the spiritual characteristic, the practice of generosity. You know, Jesus was the most generous person ever in the history of the world. So generous that he gave everything. He gave himself for us. And as we seek to become like Jesus, by definition, it means we become people who are more generous. Generous livers, as well as generous givers. And when we talk about generosity here for the next few weeks, I want you to know that by generosity, I'm not really talking about small token steps of generosity, the kinds of things that I can do on the spur of the moment to be generous, but that in the end, I don't really notice that much. I mean spiritually significant, God-sized steps into generosity. Steps that take us right to the ledge, right to the edge of, yikes! Where you stand there and say, only God, only my trust in God will meet this need. When we take those steps right onto the ledge, you trust God, and what you experience is the heart-pounding faith, the spiritual exhilaration that comes from seeing God show up in your life. And when I say we want something for you, that's what we want. We want you to experience the life-changing, heart-pounding faith, the growth in your faith, the growth in your closeness to God, the growth in your trust and dependence on him that comes when you step towards him in this way. It's certainly been that way in my life. Back when Ann and I were in premarital counseling, we were challenged to give 10% of our income to the church. Now listen, we were very young, we were very poor, and let me tell you, that was the edge of yikes for us. But we did it. And as a result, we got to experience God showing up in our lives. He provided for us. He changed our perspective on things. He shaped us in new ways. And as a result, our faith in God grew. It grew enough that a few years later, when our church asked us to make a faith promise commitment to world missions beyond our regular giving, we heard that and thought, once again, man, that is the edge of yikes. Because by that time I was a youth pastor, we really had no money. But we'd seen God work, and we knew if God was calling us to this, he would meet us. And you know what happened? He did. He did, and our faith grew. Our confidence in God was developed. And we got to be a part of some exciting things. So much so that a few years later, when somebody came who wasn't a part of our church, and they said, friends of ours, hey, we're going on the missions field. Would you support us? And at that time, we had started our family, so we had little ones, and everything was really tight. And so the idea of making an additional financial commitment, again, that took us right to the edge of yikes. Because we'd seen God work, we knew if he was calling us to this, he'd meet us there, and he did. And that's been the way our whole life has gone. Every time we take a step of generosity towards God, he shows up, and he increases our faith and our confidence, and we get to be involved in things here and in churches and in places around the world that we never would have if it wasn't for that very first step of faith. And so that's what I want for you. Beyond anything I want from you, I want you to experience the heart-pounding faith and the spiritual exhilaration that come from walking right up to the edge of yikes, and trusting God, watching God show up. And I've been challenged in my thinking because Ann and I both were very consistent in our giving. We love to give. And we've set it up to be automatic so that we don't ever forget to give. We don't lose our level of generosity that we'd like to meet. But one of the ramifications of that is we've gotten used to it. We've adjusted our lives to it. And so the reality is our giving, it doesn't really stretch us. It doesn't really stretch us like it used to. And so I know that in this season, God's inviting us to take another step right out to the edge of yikes. And my encouragement would be to you to think similarly. Because maybe like me, your generosity, your giving has become routine. And I'm going to ask you to do the very same thing that I'm doing, and that's take the generosity challenge. And the generosity challenge is simply this. Ask God, God, what does it mean for me to be generous? It doesn't mean the same thing for all of us. So ask God, what does it mean for me in these next 2 years to be generous? And then ask God, would you give me the courage, God, to do it? To take that step. And the challenge might be something like this. If you're not regular in your giving, maybe that's the challenge, to be regular. If you're regular, maybe the challenge will be to a higher, a more extravagant level. Whatever it is, it's going to grow your faith. It's going to grow your trust in God. And it's going to have this amazing result in the lives of others. Because the tangible result of all of us living generously, beyond the spiritual growth we experience, the tangible result is resources that are going to allow us to serve creatively, to serve others in new ways, in exciting ways, in innovative ways. And all of this adds up to impact, the chance to impact people's eternity. God's vision for your life is to fill you so full of his life-giving spirit that it flows out of you to others. And in pursuit of this, we're entering this new season, the season that we're calling Unleashed, to live generously, to serve creatively, and to impact eternally. And it allows us to do this by asking our church family for a 2-year generosity commitment. And that commitment is going to fund our current ministries, our regular operating costs, as well as the new steps towards debt freedom, the facility upgrades, the new ministries that we feel God is calling us to pursue. And so unlike a financial campaign that focuses on a building or a project and requires you to give separately, Unleashed is a spiritual emphasis on generosity. We're simply going to ask God, what does it mean for you to be generous? Give it in the same place, the same way that you give your regular giving. And we're going to watch God grow our faith. So that's my prayer. Generosity absolutely opens the floodgates to make his vision for your life a reality, to make his vision for us as a church a reality. And my prayer is you'll join me in this pursuit, take the generosity challenge, ask God what it means to be generous, and then let's ask God to unleash a new wave of his love and his grace and his mercy in us.